intentions that we've saved the date for here for our dinner on May 18th. I hope you'll all be able to join us. We are really delighted to have in the rooms this morning two of our honorees. Chai Schmidman, where's Chai? Right here, who I hope you all know, and Rebecca Nadler.
Yeah.
On May 18th, honoring Nishmat's wonderful work, and of course, Rebecca and Chai.
And I want to mention, I want to point out two other very important people. Everybody here is very important, but two very special people who are sitting here, which is Chai's granddaughter, Sarah Fredman, who was a student at Nishmat. And I want to point out another alumna of Nishmat who today is celebrating her birthday by taking a day off and being here, and that's Karen Heilig, who's sitting right here. So, welcome to everybody. It is a pleasure to be here. And Wendy, I want to thank you. Yes, I want to thank you so much for opening your home. Everything that is here in both English and Hebrew. So find whichever language you're comfortable with, and you should have two sheets of paper. If you have four, that's fine. If you want the Hebrew and the English. But if you have just the Hebrew, then you have two sheets of paper. One is short, says Afikoman at the top, and the other has these four columns. And if you have the English, you have those same four columns, but it's spread over two pages, and this second sheet. So what I would like to do with you today is look at the topic of the Arba Banim in the Haggadah. Take a deep breath, because this is going to be an involved class, but I hope you're going to enjoy it, and I hope it'll enrich. I hope it'll enrich your Seder. Let's start out. I see the American computer messed up.
Oh,
let's
turn things
on. What happened?
Okay, everything here is supposed to be parallel.
As it is in the English.
I guess it is. Is it in the English? Yes. And in the Hebrew it is not. Okay, we will rise to the challenge. Actually, I would like to ask your indulgence for one more minute while I get my original sources that have the parallel columns. Hebrew, in the second column, you'll see Nusach HaHaggadah. In the English, it's at the very top of the second column, so it's much clearer. In the Haggadah, speaks about four sons, and one is wise, and one is evil, and one is simple, and the other does not know to ask. And then we have a recitation of what each one says. So let us get into the mind of the wise son, the evil son. So let's read that. Chacham mahu omer, ma edot vachukim vamishpatim, asher tziva shem elokeinu etchem. The wise son, what does he say? What are the, I think it'll be simpler if I just read this. What are the statutes, the testimonies, and the laws that the Lord God has commanded you? Afata, wait, 1 minute. אז אתה אמור לו כהלכות הפסח, אין מפטירין אחר הפסח אפיפומן. You should say to him, according to the laws of Pesach, one may not have the afikoman after the Pesach sacrifice. Okay. Then we get to the evil son. Now, I want to try, I want you to... Pardon me? I'm still trying to orient myself because the computer... Okay.
The second column,
the fourth paragraph, which is going to be Resha. These had initially been parallel to each other, so it'll just be a little bit more challenging for us to follow, but we're wise and we will follow. So now, let's get this in our heads. In the Torah, what's in the Haggadah, what's the question? The wise son asks what question?
What are the laws? What are the rules?
And what's the answer that you give him?
If you don't eat the afikoman after the Pesach, we don't follow the afikoman with anything.
Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikoman. We don't follow the korban pesach, the Pesach sacrifice, with afikoman. We don't follow the Pesach sacrifice with afikoman. If I were to say to you now, tell me what afikoman is, I presume you would all say...
It's the last thing you eat.
It's the last thing you eat at the... If you ask this in Israel to any child, the child is going to answer you exactly the same way. They're going to say it's the present that you get. they should be saying it's the matzah that you return to the table and then get your present. But in shorthand, when you say afikoman, the Israeli child says, that's the name of the present. We say that's the name of the matzah that you eat at the end, which represents the Pesach sacrifice. But you're going to see that in the Mishnah and Gemara, that's not what it means. So the wise son asks, what are the laws? I'm just simplifying this because I want to contrast in this shiur three versions of the same questions. And we're starting with the version that's in the Haggadah. What are the laws? And you tell him, well, the laws are we don't eat after the Pesach afikoman. We don't follow the Pesach sacrifice with afikoman. You may wonder why that particular law was selected from amongst all the laws. The Gaon Mivilna says, because it's the last law of the evening. The afikoman is the last thing. So it's not that you tell him just this law, it's you tell him all the laws until the very last law. Okay, now we get to the evil son. Rasha mahu omer. The evil son, what does he say? Ma avodah hazot lachem. What is this service to you? Lachem, just one second, I keep losing my place. Lachem velo lo, to you and not to him. And because he separated himself from the community, he denies the essence. You too shall set his teeth on edge and say to him, because of this, Hashem did for me when I went out of Egypt. And then Haggadah continues with a parenthetical statement, leave it alone to me and not to him. Ilu hayasham lo hayanigal. Had he been there, he wouldn't have been redeemed. So let's just review this in our mind because we're going to have to contrast, so we need to remember this. The evil son says what?
What's this to you?
And you answer what? Because of this, what's this service to you? So you're obviously pointing to the Pesach offering and the sacrifice, and you answer, because of this, Hashem took me out of Egypt, and the implication is when you stress me, but Buster, had you been there, you wouldn't have come out together with us. Okay, then we get to Tam Mahu Omer. This is the bottom of the second column. The simple son, what does he say? Mazo, what is this? The simple son, what does he say? What is this? And you shall say, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. Finally, we get to She'eno yodea lish'ol,
He who doesn't know to ask, Aktachlo. Shene emar, Vigad Talavin Havayom Hulemor, Bavorze, Asah Shemli, Vitsayti, Yitzayi. Okay. So I apologize for. Here's what you need to do. Turn over and you'll find the rest of the chart. The second column. And the one who does not know how to ask. You open to him, as it says, tell your child on this day, it is on account of what the Lord did for me when I left Egypt. So let's just review that one time. The wise son, what the question he asks is what?
What are these?
Tell me the laws. And you answer? That we don't follow the Pesach sacrifice with Afikoman. You're catching it. Afikoman is something that we don't, it's not something that we do, it's something that we don't. We don't follow the Pesach sacrifice with Afikoman. That's the wise child. The evil child says to you what? What's his service to you? And you answer, because of this, Bavorze asa Hashem li. Because of this, Hashem did for me when I came out of Egypt. Then there's the simple son, and he asks a simple question, Mazot. And the answer that's given to him is B'chozek yad hotzianu Hashem mi Mitzrayim mi Beit Avadim, with an outstretched hand, God took us out of Egypt, the house of Babylon. And finally we get to the son who doesn't know to ask, and for him, you have to, at Tachlo, you have to initiate, and you say, you said, because of this, God did for me when I come out of Egypt. Now, where does this come from? Where it comes from is very easy and very clear. There are four mentions in the Torah of telling your son. So, Rabbi Chiya, the reason I say Rabbi Chiya is because the Haggadah isn't the original text. It originates from the Mechilta, and the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi have the earlier versions of this text. And in the Yerushalmi, this is attributed to Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was one of the preeminent sages of the Mishnah in the second century of the Common Era. So Rabbi Chiya looks at the Torah and he says, there are four times that we're told to tell our sons. Apparently, there are four different tellings. Why would there be four different tellings? So he associates this with four different personality types. Anyone is invited to interrupt and to comment and to add at any point. Not yet? Okay.
Just one question.
Yes.
The simple child, he's pointing to the Pesach, I assume. How is this an answer?
Very, very, very
good. Repeat the question?
Yes. Tam mahu omer mazot. The Tam is saying, what is this? Now, if I hold this up and I say, what is this? Your answer will be, this is a chumash, this is a book. When he says mazot, he's pointing to something. And the answer is an answer not to what, but to, if I say because of this, then the question isn't what. If my question is what, then I'm going to identify the object. But if I say because of this, then my question isn't what, my question is
why.
So that's the first thing we're taking notice of. That it seems that there's a tension between the question and between the answer that's given. Please keep that in mind. I'm not addressing it now. We'll try to address everything altogether.
You also have no idea what he's asking.
Right. Okay, good. So what...
I have one more question. Are
yes.
you saying then that Rabbi Chiya is addressing the issue when he pins it on four different personality types
why the Torah four times tells
us
the thing
to be yes. And I want to look at the Torah psukim, and then our questions will become yet stronger. Sharon is raising the question of what's the context, and I'm going to read to you. I gave you an abbreviated context because I thought I put together this wonderful chart that's going to let you see everything in parallel, and I didn't take into consideration the difference in American and Israeli size paper. So anyone who wants the original chart, just email me, and I'll send it to you from my computer, and you'll be able to see everything in the original. Now, here are the four questions as given in the Torah, and I'm going to read you the context from my Chumash, because I gave you just the question in itself. In Dvarim Vav, Pasuk Taf Aleph, we read, Ki yishalcha bincha machar lemor, ma ha'edot v'achukim v'amishpatim, asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem. This is the first column in either the English or the Hebrew. If your son asks you tomorrow, saying, what are the statutes and testimonies and laws that Hashem, your God, has commanded, Hashem, our God, has commanded you, V'amarta levincha avadim hayinu lefaro v'mitzrayim, v'yotzienu Hashem mimitzrayim v'yad chazaka. When your son asks you, or if your son asks you, tomorrow meaning in the future, what are the testimonies and laws and judgments, or however it's translated, which Hashem, our God, commanded you, you shall say to your son, we were enslaved in Egypt, to Paro in Egypt, and Hashem took us out of Egypt with a strong hand. Do you see what just has happened? What's the question in the Torah? This question Rabbi Chiya has assigned to which son? The Ben Chacham, the wise son. And in the Torah, the question is, I'm going to shorten, what are the laws, the testimonies, the statutes? In other words, what are the laws, and what's the answer?
We were taken out by God.
Avadim hayinu. Now, it seems to us from reading the Torah that the word ma does not mean what. Because the answer that's given is not an answer to what. In the Haggadah, the answer is given to what.
Why?
But in the Torah, it's why. And in Hebrew, this works very well. Karen, what did you say?
Even though the questions are the same, the answers are completely different.
That's right. Now, just one moment before Karen's comment. In the Torah, Maha'edot is what are the testimonies, should be read as what? It's not ma, it's... And what's ma in Hebrew? What's
my...
why in Hebrew? It's also lama.
Lama.
Lama. Lama. Lama. So why are the testimonies? If your answer is avadim hayinu, we were enslaved, the question has to mean why do we have these laws? And the answer is because we were enslaved in Egypt and God took us out of Egypt. Now Karen has just noticed that what?
The questions are exactly the same, the answers are different.
Rabbi Chiya has the script written by the Torah, and he's rejecting the script written by the Torah. The Torah says, if the son says, why are the laws, you answer him, avadim hayinu. And in Rabbi Chiya's listing, I keep saying Rabbi Chiya because the Haggadah is taking from the Mechilta, with two very mild changes. In Rabbi Chiya's listing, instead of the answer, avadim hayinu, you know, the Torah says, if your son asks you, this is what you say. And Rabbi Chiya comes and says, if your son asks you, I'll tell you what you say. And the Torah says, you say, avadim hayinu. We were enslaved. Rabbi Chiya says, you say, you say, don't follow the Korban Pesach with Afikomen. Okay, let's look next at the second pasuk. Yes, please, sir.
I think you could say that ma means what is this about?
Yes.
Rather than just what is it?
But good. And you're helping us understand how ma becomes lama. What is this about? In other words, there's a theological question here. It's not a request for a listing, for a specification of the laws, but rather explain to me why we have these laws. Now, the second pasuk in the Torah comes from Shemot Yud Beit. The reason I'm saying the second and I put Dvarim first is I'm following the order of the Haggadah. Shemot Yud Beit, pasuk kafav kafzayin, v'ayot ki yomru alechem b'nechem ma ha'avodah zot lechem. And if your sons say to you, what is this service to you? V'amartem zevach pesach hu la'ashem, asher pasach abatei b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim, b'nokot mitzrayim, ve'et batenu hitzil, v'yikod ha'am, v'yishtachavu. And if your sons say to you, what is this service to you? You shall say, it is the Pesach offering to God who passed over the homes of Bnei Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, and our homes he saved, and the nation bowed and prostrated themselves. So what do you have here?
You have the question for the Rasha, but not the answer for the Rasha.
Rabbi Chiya is again doing surgery on the Pesukim. And he's accepting the question. And it's very interesting, because we would not have looked at this pasuk in the Torah and said, this is a wicked son. The pasuk does not in any way hint that the question is out of place. In the Haggadah, the question is out of place, because an emphasis is put upon the question, which is different from that in the Torah. What is this service to you? What is this, and you'll see in the Yerushalmi, this is going to become yet more pronounced. What is this service to you? And in the Torah, the answer is matter of fact. The answer is what? This is the Pesach service, because God passed over our homes, and when he smote the Egyptians, and he saved us. Now, the third Pasuk is in Shemot Yud Gimel, V'ayati Yishalcha Bincha Machar Lemor Mazot. And if tomorrow, in the future, your son asks you, what is this? You will say, with a strong hand did God take us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And we all say, finally. Finally, Rabbi Chiya is satisfied with the Torah, and he's not amending the Torah. There's the same question. Rabbi Chiya is assigning this question to whom?
The Rasha.
Not the Rasha, but the Tam, the simple son, who says, what is this? And then we get to the fourth question in Hebrew. This jumps to the top of the next column, and in English it goes to the other side of the page. In Shemot Yud Gimel we read, V'igadeta levincha bayom ahu leimol, v'avur zeh asa Hashem li v'tzeiti mi Mitzrayim. Because of this, God did for me when I come out of Egypt. And that's a very easy assignment, because there is no question there, so Rabbi Chiya assigns that to the son who doesn't know to ask. Yes.
Theoretically, there's no personality traits in any of these children before sightings. So, it could have gone anywhere with these four different issues.
You know, you have to understand that the basis for rabbinic exposition is a world outlook, or is the particular insight of he who is expounding. And yes, there's room to look at these psukim and expound them in a different way. The fundamental assumption of Rabbi Chiya is that the Torah is repeating itself four times because there are four different personality types. If you don't want to say four different personality types, can someone here come up with some alternative?
Or aspects of ourselves, even, that we can think about.
Yeah. Well, actually, the Lubavitcher Rebbe viewed the four sons not as four different individuals, but four life stages. Mm. And he described how all of us go from infancy, when you don't know how to ask, to the sort of simple phase of childhood, when life is not complex and you accept what you're told, over to the rebellious teenager, to the mature adult. And he ended up with the Chacham, of course. So
In your old age, as a wise person.
Well, either in your old age or when you get out of your teens. But I would imagine that if you can give thought to this, that you may come up with some other insight. And when we have halachic exposition, we follow the decision that the halacha was decided by in the Sanhedrin. But when we have homiletic exposition, Rashi says, had I had the opportunity to rewrite my commentary on the Torah, I would write it in accordance with HaPeroshim HaMitchadshim Kol Yom, with all of the new insights that come every day. We're all interfacing with the Torah. So, yes?
I'm just noticing something, and maybe you can comment on it. You know, it, like, in Devarim, it talks about the future. When they talk about the Chacham, it's the future. I guess maybe that's referring basically to what you were just saying. Then you've got when for the Chacham. This is like it's going to happen. So the future you don't know, but it could happen. But it's definitely going to happen. I guess there's going to be questions. But I mean, it's different tenses, you know,
well,
different stages.
I think you're taking us to where Sharon started off at the beginning, which is questioning the context, and I will bring the context a little bit later. So when you see the context, you'll see you're both exactly on the right track. Okay, let's skip over to the last column. We haven't answered. We've put questions on the table. We've asked ourselves. We've accepted the fact of Rabbi Chiya saying four times in the Torah, so there must be four different types of sons, or four different personality types, or four different stages in life. And that the story has to be accommodated to the needs of the to the needs of the child. And I want you to look at the left column, which is the Yerushalmi in Pesachim, Perek Yud Halacha Daled. Now the Haggadah comes from Talmudic times. The Yerushalmi predates the Babylonian Talmud. We generally speak about the Babylonian Talmud having been edited around the 5th century, even though there are parts of the Babylonian Talmud that come from somewhat later than that. But the Talmud Yerushalmi is a good 2 centuries earlier than the Bavli. 1.5, 2 centuries earlier than the Bavli. And the earliest level of rabbinic exposition is what's called Midrashei Halacha. Before we get to the Mishnah, we have expositions on the Psukim in the Torah, according to the order of the Psukim, and that is the Mechilta, which is the third column, which I didn't read for you. Actually, I will read. There are two small changes between the Mechilta and the Haggadah. The Haggadah is obviously taking the formulation of the Mechilta. Let's look at the Mechilta for one moment. This is the Mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael, Parashat Bo. Nimtzeta omer arba'a banim heim, echad chacham, ve'echad rasha, echad tam, ve'echad she'eno yodeh lishol. There are four sons. These are them. Chacham mahu omer ma'edot v'achukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu otanu. The Chacham says, what are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Hashem, our God, commanded us? Do you see a mild change in the Haggadah? The Haggadah says what? Says etchem. Why did the Haggadah choose to say etchem? but this is for the wise son. The Chacham says otanu in the Mechilta, and it says etchem in the Haggadah. It's a very simple reason.
It's a conversation.
No. It's faithful to the pasuk in the Torah. The Mechilta modified the pasuk. And the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah, the author of the Haggadah, decided to go back and quote the Pasuk verbatim. And the Pasuk says, what are the statutes which Hashem, our God, commanded you? I think that Sara is right when she says so that we could have a Rasha, because the tzaddik's words are being amended so that they're different from the Rasha. But in reality, the Rasha says etchem, and the tzaddik says etchem. So the Mechilta changes it to otanu, although you will know in the Haggadah, even though the tzaddik says etchem, Hashem commanded you, nevertheless he says Hashem, our God, commanded you. So he is including himself. Even you open for him in the laws of Pesach. In other words, this isn't the last thing you teach him, but open your discussion and teach him that we do not follow the Pesach sacrifice with Afikoman. Same as in the Torah, same as in the Haggadah. What does the wicked son say? What is this service to you? Lachem v'lo lo. And because he removed himself from the community and denied the essence, you too hardened his teeth, set his teeth on edge, and say to him, because of this, Hashem did for me when I came out of Egypt. Leave lo lecha. To me and not to you. The Haggadah is actually softening this a little bit. Ilu hayita sham lo hayita nig'al. To me and not to you. Had you been there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. The Haggadah makes it into a parenthetical statement. You just say, this is because what Hashem did for me, and the implication is for me and not for you. In the Mechilta, you say it directly, and then the Tam and the Sheino Yodei Lishol are the same. Now look at the last column, the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Pesachim Perek Yud Halacha Dalet. In the Babylonian Talmud, we always cite by folio, Daf Gimel Amud Beit. This folio and this side of the page. That's because there was one printing of the one typesetting of the Babylonian Talmud that became universal. But the Yerushalmi, that never happened. So we cite by the Perek, by the chapter, and by the Halakha. Halakha in the Yerushalmi is what we call Mishnah in the Babli. Okay. Tanya Rabbi Chia. Tanya Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia taught. Keneged arba'a banim dibra Torah. The Torah spoke for four sons. Ben Chacham, Ben Rasha, Ben Tipesh, Ben She'enenu Yodea Lish'on. A wise child, a wicked child, a foolish child, and a child who does not know how to ask. Now you say immediately, these are four different sons. What do we have in all places? We have the Chacham, we have the wise son. We also have the wicked son. Rabbi Chia has, who else?
A Tipesh,
which is a foolish son. And then there is the She'eno Yodea Lish'ol, the son who doesn't know to ask. Ben Chacham Mahu Omer. The wise son, what does he say? What are the laws that Hashem... What are the laws that Hashem commanded us? You see that here too, just like the Mechilta, Rabbi Chia is obviously the one who modified the words of the Pasuk, which are Etchem to Otanu. Afata Emorlo, you say to him, to the wise son, Bechozek Yad Hotzianu Hashem Mitzrayim Mibeit Avadim. With an outstretched hand, God took us out of Egypt, the house of bondage.
But that's not his answer.
So we now say, it's neither the answer given in the Torah, and it's not the answer given in the Haggadah and the Mechilta.
It's closer to the concept of the Torah, though. It's closer to the formulation of the Torah than it is to the Haggadah.
Well, we have to answer why it is that Rabbi Chia, in whichever version we're taking, is rejecting the answer of the Torah. Because if God says, if your son asks you this, you say that, Rabbi Chia is rejecting that. I think by now you should be able to answer that, though. Why is Rabbi Chiya, why is Rabbi Chiya displacing the answer of Adim Hayinu, we were enslaved? Anyone?
He actually switches the Tam and the Chacham.
And he's switching the Tam and the Chacham.
Switches the answer.
But let's first answer, why is he displacing? Rabbi Chiya is going to displace two things. He is going to displace the answer of the Torah that we were enslaved, Avadim Hayinu, which is the essence of the Pesach story. And he is not giving that answer to the wise son. He's here in the Haggadah, as in the Mechilta, the wise son is taught what?
Laws.
And in the Yerushalmi, the wise son is what? He's taught what it's about, that with an outstretched hand. And I agree with you, Karen, that it's much closer to the Torah to say, B'chosek yad hotziyanu, but why reject Avadim Hayinu? And here, I will give you the answer now. The answer is because Avadim Hayinu is taken from an answer to one specific son, and it's made into an answer to everyone. Immediately after the Manishtana, what follows? Avadim Hayinu. So it is not given a place in the Haggadah as an answer to one son, but this is the story. You cannot tell the Pesach story to anyone without saying Avadim Hayinu. So it is taken, the answer to the Ben Chacham, to the Maha'edot v'chukim v'mishpatim, what are the laws in the Torah, is taken from an answer to one of the sons and made into an answer to everyone. This is the essence of the story, and you must say it to everyone. You'll see the same thing is going to happen with the answer to the Rasha. But we're still saying that's so interesting. The wise son is given the same answer in the answer in the Yerushalmi that in the Haggadah the simple son is given. Interesting. Ben Rasha Mahu Omer. The wicked son, what does he say? Mahavodah hazot lachem. What is this service to you? And now the Yerushalmi is going to explain what Mahavodah hazot lachem means. Mahatorach hazeh she'atem matrichim aleinu b'chol shana v'shana. What is this burden that you impose upon us? Year after year.
Sounds like the Jewish household. We can relate.
Mikevan shehotzi et atzmo min haklal, because he took himself out of the community, avatai morlo, you should say to him, bavur zeh asa Hashem li, because of this Hashem did for me. Li asa, leoto ha'ish lo asa. To me he did, to that man he did not do. Eilu haya oto ha'ish b'mitzrayim, if that man had been in Egypt, lo haya ra'uy liga'el misham olam. He would not have been worthy of being redeemed from there at any time. Has anyone caught an implication here? A historical implication? Yes?
Saying the olam, saying forever, not just at that time.
Yes, absolutely, Chavi. Good, 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 you're getting there. Sarah?
And someone who takes them out themselves out of the Kahal, the Korah.
Do you hear what Sarah is doing? You're not making the right identification, but you've opened the door for us. And what Sarah is saying is, maybe Oto Ha'ish is an attempt to identify with some historical character.
But Oto Ha'ish was called Jesus.
Ah, we've got it. We've got it. Jesus, now, that is not the only use of Oto Ha'ish. Oto Ha'ish is a formulation that occurs from time to time, that man. You'll find it in the Gemara in different contexts. However, Jesus is referred to universally as Oto Ha'ish. And the Yerushalmi, which comes from Eretz Yisrael, is making an allusion to Christianity. Because take a look. Ben Rasha Mahu Omer. The Haggadah comes from Babylonia, and Christianity wasn't a factor in Babylonia. And that's why the Haggadah is not taking the version of the Yerushalmi. But the version of the Yerushalmi, it seems clear to me, is so pointedly attacking Christianity. The wicked son, he is the wicked son of Judaism. He's not a non-Jew. He's a wicked son of Judaism. Mahu Omer, what is this burden to you? What is it? Avodah, the word avodah could be translated as service, but the word avodah can also be translated as burden, work, hardship. And the Yerushalmi explains avodah as what? Torah. We would say avodah is like avodat Hashem, avodat Beit HaMikdash, the service of the Beit Mikdash. But the Yerushalmi says, no, avodah in this context, and that's not in the Torah, when the Torah says, and you'll hear this in a few minutes, Ma avodah hazot lachem, it's talking about the Pesach sacrifice. So it's talking about service. But the Yerushalmi says avodah as in eved, as in someone who is oved, someone who is working. What is this burden that you are imposing upon us a year after year? Now, when Christianity, especially from Paul onwards, parted ways with Judaism, the issue that Christianity had with Judaism, I'm not talking about the Trinity, but the issue that Christianity had, and it's a legitimate difference of opinion, is Christianity felt that the mitzvot, that ritual, and that the obligations and the prohibitions were preventing the ethos of Judaism, the beliefs of Judaism from being accepted by mankind. So Christianity argued that you don't need these practices in order to be a believer. You need to have the belief in order to be a believer. And so the wicked son's question very much matches the Christian who is speaking to the Jew, and he says, what is this burden of service? It's a burden because it limits the numbers of people who will be willing to join the religion. What is this burden of service that you are imposing upon us every year? And then the answer is, because he removed himself from the community. What community, of course? By this, he has removed himself from the Jewish community. You tell him, because of this, Hashem did for me. There is a covenantal relationship, going back to Egypt, between God and the Jewish people. And if you are not willing to accept the ritual, if you're not ready to accept the mitzvot, you're not accepting the covenantal relationship. Liasa, he did this for me. He did not do this for Oto Ha'ish. He did not do this for Jesus. He did this for me. If Oto Ha'ish, if Jesus had been in Egypt, Lo ha'ra'ui li'yiga'el misham la'olam, he would not have bound himself to God with the covenantal relationship, and he would not have been redeemed. You could say I'm reading too much into the Yerushalmi or not. I think it is historically in place. Now you get to the next part of the Yerushalmi, which is fascinating. Tipesh Mahu Omer. Now you remember, in the Haggadah and in the Mechilta, the son is not called Tipesh. He is not called a fool. He is called
a simpleton.
The simpleton, or excuse me, the foolish son says, what is this? Afata lamdo hilchot ha-pesach. You teach him the laws of Pesach. She'en maftirin achar ha-pesach afikoman. That we don't follow the Pesach with afikoman. That he will not leave this group and enter another group. Now, what do you have to say? That's the answer which in the Haggadah we give to whom?
The wise son.
The
wise son.
And, here.
But we eat the Karban Pesach and Chaburah, so this may have a deeper meaning than what we say.
Chai, you've got to come to Nishmat.
But in addition, isn't it, once we see the first one as being to Jesus or dealing with Christianity, they're also trying to create a fortress, trying to keep the
Ah, You Rebecca, you're absolutely right.
But
you're both right.
We're talking about a simple son, and you can't.
No, not a simple son. You're talking about a foolish son, and what you are both saying, what you're both saying, is absolutely correct in that the Yerushalmi is addressing us through a particular context, and I'll try to give a reading of this context according to Professor Shaul Lieberman, going back to the Gemara. So again, you have the answer that was given, that we give in the Haggadah to the wise son. We give it to the wise son in the Haggadah by saying, these are the laws of Pesach. In the Yerushalmi, this is given, Ein mafkirin achar ha-Pesach afikoman. We don't follow the Pesach sacrifice with afikoman, that you should not arise from one group and go to another group. Now turn to the page, which is called Afikoman. The final son, Ben Sheino Yodeh Lishol at Kachlo Tzida, he who doesn't know how to ask, you open for him, is exactly the same. Now, in Shmot Perek Yudbet, in chapter 12 of Shmot, which you don't have in front of you, but I'm going to read to you. 1 minute. Here it is. Dabul, the beginning of Shmot Yudbet. Dabul el kol adat bnei Yisrael leimor, ba'asor lachodesh hazeh v'yikun lahem ish sela beit avot sela bayit. Speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month shall each household take a lamb for the house. Ve'im yimat habayit miyot l'seh, and if the house is too small for consumption of a lamb, ve'lakachu shcheino hakarov el beito, he and his next door neighbor shall take a lamb. B'mitzat nefashot ish lefi ochlo tachosu al haseh, according to the number of people, each person according to his ability to consume, shall you count yourselves on the lamb. Now, when the Beit Mikdash is built and we all come up to Jerusalem in order to have the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, the Pesach offering, you're not going to be able spontaneously, as you're coming home from shul, to say to someone, ah, can I come to eat together with you? Rather, beforehand, every single Jew, woman, man, child, needs to be counted beforehand. And people associate together based upon the numbers of people who can together consume one Pesach sacrifice, and that's called a chavura. The Pesach sacrifice is eaten in a chavura. We'll see that very shortly, but let's start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Pesachim Perek Yud Mishnah Chet says, "Ve'ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach afikoman." We do not follow the Pesach with afikoman. Now, as I pointed out before, afikoman in the Mishnah is something you don't do. Not something you do, but something that you don't. You'll see in the Gemara, it's something that you don't... Gemara gives us two possibilities, three comments, but they sort themselves into two possibilities. Two possibilities of what you don't. My afikoman. What is afikoman? The Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Yotet Amud Bet says. What is afikoman? Amar Rav shelo ya'achu mechavura lechavura. Rav said that one should not go from group to group. Not go from group to group. That means if I'm part of the Pesach sacrifice together with Wendy, I can't go to eat. I can't suddenly get up in the middle and say, I'm interested in seeing what's doing in Harriet's group, I'll come over to Harriet's group. If I am part of the Pesach group, I stay part of that chavura. So Rav says that afikoman is something that you don't do. We say ein maftirin achar haPesach afikoman, and Rav says that means that you should not lo yaachru. You should not arise and go from one group to another group. Ushmuel amar kagon or bilai li v'goz alaya la'aba. Shmuel said, it's like mushrooms for me or chicks for Abba. Abba isn't father. Abba is the person who was called Abba Aricha. He was very tall and he was called Abba Aricha. We know him in the Gemara as Rav. Shmuel and Rav are a chavruta who have controversies between them. And his mother did not give him the name Rav. His mother gave him the name Abba. Abba is a strange name, but it's not such a strange name. When a child was tiny and you wanted to give him a name that would convey longevity, you would call him Abba. So he must have started out very small, but he didn't stay very small. He became Abba Aricha. So Shmuel says, like mushrooms for me, and like chicks, gozalim, like chicklings for Abba. V'Rav Chanina bar Sheila v'Rabbi Yochanan amru k'mo tmarim kliyot ve'egozim. Rav Chanina bar Sheila and Rabbi Yochanan both say like dates or like roasted grains or nuts. Now you have here two different explanations of what afikoman is. Afikoman is something that we don't. But it's either something shelo la'akor mechavura lechavura, not to go from one group to another. In other words, afikoman is something that we don't do, or else afikoman is something that we don't
eat.
It's either something we don't do or something we don't eat. And Shmuel says, I'll give you examples of what afikoman is. For me, afikoman is mushrooms. For Abba, for Rav, afikoman is chicklings. And Rav Chanina and Rav Sheila and Rav Yochanan all say afikoman is like dates and like roasted grains and seeds. In other words, what's afikoman?
Dessert.
How do you get to mushrooms or
different dessert? Like, maybe truffles or like a dessert, like something.
That's truffles, not chocolate truffles.
No, but I say something, a delicacy, like delicacies.
It's possibly because it's a delicacy, or possibly because mushrooms don't have a strong taste of their own, so they clean the mouth because they absorb tastes. Chicklings, I don't know, maybe they're crisp, they're small, they're crisp, as distinct from a larger piece, heavy piece of meat. So that was his dessert. So we have two discussions of what afikoman is. Now Rashbam, yes, who said, excuse me? Yes, so.
In upper class English meals of the 19th century, the meal ended after the sweet with something they called a savory, which was often sautéed mushrooms on toast or something like that.
Or so, chicken. Or nuts. Little
sort of spicy tidbit.
That's interesting. Okay, so there you have it. So this is his savory. Now, Rashbam points out to us... let's see. I'm going to summarize what Rashbam says. Rashbam says to us that these two positions are different in the following way. When Rav says you do not go from group to group, Rav is not saying you cannot eat anything after the Korban Pesach. He is saying in your location you can eat something, But after you leave your location, you cannot join another group in order to go eat with them. But it's not that you cannot. It's not that you cannot eat. And on the other hand, Shmuel says after the Korban Pesach, what do? You cannot eat anything. The Baal HaMa'or, Rav Zerachia Halevi, mentions that in Jerusalem, and I think you can get a sense of this when you go into the old city, homes were tiny. And people who needed to eat the Korban Pesach, when they finished, a group would finish eating the Korban Pesach, they would go up on the roof to recite Hallel afterwards. They would vacate the home so the next group would be able to go into the home. And the not following the Afikoman, not following the Korban Pesach with anything else meant that when you're saying Hallel, you still have the taste of the Korban Pesach in your and the taste in your mouth. Okay, now look at the Yerushalmi, the last source on the page, as distinct from the Bavli, which says what's Afikoman. Afikoman is either, as Rav says, that you not go from group to group, and as Shmuel says, no, it's dessert, and then you can either have your savory or your sweet dessert. In the Yerushalmi Pesachim Perek Yud Halacha Vav, Rabbi Simon b'shem Rabbi Ineni b'Rabbi Sisi Minei Zemer. Rabbi Simon, in the name of Rabbi Ineni, the son of Rabbi Sisi, says it's kinds of music. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's kinds of sweets. And Shmuel says, like mushrooms and chicklings. So,
why does nobody know what Afikoman is?
Well,
besides the fact that it's a Greek loanword, why is it?
Professor Shaul Lieberman says that the Greeks had a practice after their philosophical debates that was called means end, epikomizon, which sounds very much like afikomen. And he says that what the Greeks used to do is when they had their philosophical debates, they would follow their philosophical debates with carousing, with going from house to house and having exactly what's written here. Professor Lieberman was a scholar, amongst other things, of the Yerushalmi, and he says, you have it right here, Minei Zemer. In other words, you have three possibilities. That two of them are food, something that you don't... It's exactly like the Bavli, in that Afikoman is either something you don't do or something you don't eat. And if you don't eat it, so you have sweet or savory, but they're both desserts. And on the other hand, something you don't do, in the Bavli, it's so you not go from group to group. Professor Lieberman says this is the same thing. The kinds of music is the same thing as going from group to group, because what the Greeks would do is after their... after the heavy philosophy, they would spend the night carousing and brawling and going from one place to the next and having music, having song, and getting drunk. And you're telling which son are you giving this answer to? To Ein Maftirin Achar HaPesach Afikoman. No. In the Yerushalmi, which son are you giving this to? The fool. But he's not a tam. He's a tipesh. He's a fool. And in the Yerushalmi, what's this fool looking to do? He wants to have fun. As in, how much longer is this going to go on, and when are we going to get to the food? Tragically, I hear this all the time. I hear this from people who have relatives who are unaffiliated to any kind of Judaism, who don't know anything at all, and they come to the Haggadah, and the Haggadah seems to them to be a great burden, and they're interested in getting to the meal. Well, in this case, the interest is to get to the the celebration. Fun. When's the party starting?
Clubhouse.
And we tell, we tell the foolish son that no, it's not that this is an introduction to the partying. This is it. This is what it's about. It's not that the partying is going to come later. Now, if you ask yourself, why did the Haggadah adopt the Michilta and not the Yerushalmi, it seems clear to me. Because neither the Christian, the Christians were not a threat in Babylonia. They were not a factor in Babylonia. And therefore, the statements about Lo Tov Ha'ish were irrelevant. And it becomes... One is talking about the errant son in the family and not the errant son of Judaism. And also, the vestiges of the Greek partying also had nothing to do with Babylonian culture. So that's why you find this in the Yerushalmi, and you don't find it in the, not in the, we don't have the Bavli, but in the Haggadah and the Mechilta. Now, I want to point out several more things very briefly, and we will finish with them. Sharon asked initially about context. Before context, I will point out two things. We asked why the answers given in the Torah are not used by the Haggadah. The answer given in the Torah to Ma'edot v'chukim, what are the laws, is Avadim Hayinu. And we said, yes, the answer is given. It's just not given to one son. It's given to all of the sons. The child says, Manishtana, or whoever asks the Manishtana, and we answer with the story. And the story is, Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves, and we were redeemed by God. And there's a second pasuk, which also is taken from the pasuk which Rabbi Chiya gives over to the wicked son. In the Torah, says, Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem, what is this service? And the Torah says, tell him it's the Pesach service because God passed over. Well, you have that also in the Haggadah. You have the Mishnah of Rabban Gamliel quoted in the Haggadah. Rabban Gamliel says, anyone who doesn't say any of three things hasn't fulfilled his obligation for the evening. Pesach, Matzah, Maror. And then Rabban Gamliel goes on to say, Pesach sheze she'anu ochlim al shumma, why do we eat this Pesach sacrifice? Al shum she'pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu al avoteinu v'mitzrayim, because God passed over. Matzah zo she'anu ochlim al shumma, because why do we eat this matzah? Because our dough did not ferment. Why do we eat this maror? Because the Egyptians embittered our lives. And that's Asher Pasach. V'amartem Zevach Pesach Asher Pasach. That is also taken out of an answer from one son and given by Rabban Gamliel as an answer to everyone. In other words, if you don't say this, there are two things that we all must say that night. One is, you need to tell the story. We were slaves and we were made free. Avadim hayinu l'farao mitzrayim, God took us out. And the other is not the story of slavery to freedom, but the story of God's providence over us, that God smote the Egyptians. In other words, there is punishment and there is reward in the world. God smote the Egyptians and he saved us. And those are two statements that you don't make to one specific son, but you make to all of the sons. Yes.
The Haggadah was sort of finished much later, right? The
correct.
Text of the Haggadah. And at that time, very much influenced by European Jewry.
No. No. Babylonian.
So was it, because I thought later on you get more Christian influence in Christian Europe around the Middle Ages, it would be more relevant for them to bring the Christian, bring some of those Christian bits of that Christianity back into the Haggadah.
You're right.
More relevant to, because at that stage, although it's not relevant in Babylonia, in the Middle Ages when the Christianity is there and saying bad things about Judaism, may be relevant to bring some of these passages back in.
Yes, and Shvach Hamadcha becomes very, very much central, although that's central wherever there are Jews. It's unfortunately relevant wherever you are. The Haggadah was set, the formulation, in the Gaonic times. If we go back to the Rambam, we have virtually the entire Haggadah as it is today. Go back to Rav Sadia Gaon and you have virtually the Haggadah as we have today.
Some of the songs at the end are coming in Ashkenaz, late 16th century.
Well, okay. Yes, and there, and I'm ready to give this year or next year at this time, which is why Haggadah aroused controversy, but we're going to put that aside. I want to end with two things. Sharon asked at the very beginning about context, and the context is extremely important. I want you to listen to the context. You don't have this, so you're just going to have to listen within the Torah. The first of the questions occurs in chapter 12 of Shemot, and it is introduced as follows. V'haya ki tavo el ha'aretz asher yiten Hashem lachem kasher diber u'shmartem et ha'avodah hazot. And when you come to the land which Hashem gives you as kafhei, Shmot Yud Bet kafhei, pasuk kafhei, Shmot chapter 12 pasuk 25. When you come to the land which Hashem your God will give you as He has spoken, you shall observe this service. This service refers to the Pesach offering, which is just referred to. V'haya ki yomru alechem b'nechem ma'avodah zot lachem. And if your sons ask you, what is this service? In other words, if Pasuk says, when you come into the land, you will observe this service. And if your sons ask you, what is this service? The service is obviously referring to the Pesach sacrifice, you will say, Zevach Pesach Hu Asher Pasach. This is the Pesach sacrifice because Hashem passed over. Now listen to the second Pasuk. This is in Shmot Yud Gimel, chapter 13 of Shmot. Pasuk Hey. Vahayaki Pasuk 5. V'haya ki yiviyacha Hashem el eretz haknani hachiti v'emori v'achivi v'ayvuri asher mishpa l'avotecha latet lach eretz zavat chalav udvash v'avadet ha'et ha'avodah hazot b'chodesh hazeh. And when God brings you to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, etc., which He swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall do this service in this month. Shivat yamim tochan matzot uvayom hashvi'i chag l'Hashem. 7 days you will eat matzot, and the seventh day, as the thing from Sukkot, where the seventh day is not a holiday, it is part of Chol Hamoed, the seventh day will be a holiday to God. Matzot yechel et shivat hayamim, v'lo yera'e l'cha chametz. Matzot will be consumed for 7 days, and leavened bread will not be seen by you. And leavening will not be seen anywhere in your land. You will say to your son, because of this did God do for me. What is this pointing to now? Not pointing to the pest. Matzah. So you see why it's mentioned again in the Torah. The first time is, when you come into the land, your son will see the Pesach offering, and he'll say, what is this service to you? And he'll see the matzot, and there you will tell him. Now we go on to Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, chapter 13, Pasuk 11. V'haya ki yiviyacha Hashem el eretz haknani kasher nishbalach. You hear the beginning each time? And when God brings you to the land of the Canaanites, as He has sworn to you and to your forefathers, and given it to you, and then you're told in Pasuk Bet, Yud Bet, and Yud Gimel, that you shall separate the firstborn and give the firstborn to God, which means any of three things. It either means you will bring it as you will give the firstborn animal to the Kohen, or it means you will redeem the firstborn non-kosher animal, or it means you will redeem your first son, which we do as a pidyon b'chor, and you give the money to the Kohen. And then, v'hayaki yishalcha bincha machar lemor mazot, and if your son asks you, what is this? And this time, what is this mean?
Mara.
No. Pidyon b'chor. If your son is looking at this ceremony of redeeming the firstborn, and he says, what is this? V'amarta elav b'chozek yad hotzianu Hashem, Mi Mitzrayim, Mi Beit Avadim, your seventh strong hand, God took us out of Egypt. But listen to the next pasuk. Vayhiki iksha paro neshalchenu, and when Paro was adamant about not sending us out, Vayaharog Hashem kol b'chor v'eretz Mitzrayim, God smote every firstborn. Now we go to Dvarim, and you will see the context is exactly the same in Dvarim Perek Vav. We read a minute in Dvarim Perek Vav Pasuk Yud. We read V'hayaki yiviyacha Hashem Elokecha El Haaretz Asher Nishba LaAvotecha LaAvraham LiYitzchak LiYaakov. And when God brings you to the land which He swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great cities which you did not build, etc., etc. Skip to Pasuk Kaf 20. Ki yishalcha bincha machar lemor ma ha'edot v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem. If your son asks you what are the laws, the testimonies, the judgments which God gave. Now, we didn't understand the pasuk in the Torah that seemed to be answering the question of why, but if you read in the Torah, you see where the Torah goes, because it starts out with, you shall say to your son, Avadim hayinu lefarov mitzrayim, vayotzeinu Hashem mitzrayim biyad chazaka. We were enslaved, and then we're told God did great demonstrations in Egypt, and He took us out of there. Votanu hotzi misham leman havi, we, He took out of Egypt in order to bring us to the land which He swore to our forefathers. And God commanded us to do all of these laws. So that's where you get Ein Maftirin Achar HaPesach. That's why you get the change from Avadim Hayinu to laws. What are the laws? Because it's why are the laws? So the answer is, we were enslaved. God took us out so that He could bring us to this land so we could do the laws. And I wish to end with the following two observations. If you look at the context, you see that within the Torah, every one of these questions occurs when you come into the land. Every one of these questions occurs when you come into the land. When there's a new reality. Rabbi Lichtenstein made an observation, which I think is deeply insightful. He said that the point is that the younger generation that comes into the land is questioning the heritage of their parents, their forefathers, which is associated with another reality, with the old country, with the desert. And they're coming in order to build their lives in a new way. And they ask about the relevance of the question and of the ritual of the religion, and it becomes the task of the parent. And there's no better time to do this than the Pesach Seder to convey to the child the relevancy of the traditions. So the child is questioning the traditions in the new situation. You, the parent, have to build that bridge for the child. And let me end with the following. Our words to the Rasha are, had you been in Egypt, you wouldn't have been redeemed. Ilu hayasham lo hayanigal. It seems to me that what we're saying to the Russia is, you, why would he have not have been redeemed in Egypt? Because it seems to me that the Rasha is someone who lives in the present, completely in the present. He doesn't have a sense of the past. He's asking, what are these services to you? What's this service to you? He doesn't have a sense of the past, and because he doesn't have a sense of the past, he doesn't have a sense of the future either. Because if you don't know where you came from, you can't know where you're going to. And so the Rasha could not have left Egypt. What being a Jew is about is this: you live in three times, three periods at the same time. You live in the present, but you live in the past as well. Brit Bein HaBetarim, the covenantal relationship with Avraham Avinu, is as relevant to you today as it was 3,500 years ago. And you also live in the future. The Jew who says Sheibane Beit HaMikdash, the Jew who always looks at what will be in the future and always is prepared not to do what he needs to do, even though he may not get into the future and see everything in the future. He understands that he's part of a journey towards the future. That's the kind of a Jew who could leave Egypt. But the Jew, the one who in Egypt did not have a sense of the past, the connection to the past. That's why he's being called the wicked son. But I don't think if we looked at him, we would think he was wicked. I think we would simply comment that this is one who's living in the present. And if we look at the Jewish people today, all around the world, I think we have to say we're a tiny minority. And the majority of Jews are not affiliated at all. And don't have a sense of Jewish tradition. And the tragedy, if you don't have a sense of Jewish tradition, is that there's no way, if you don't know your past, that you could stride towards the Jewish future. So let me end by wishing everyone a joyous Pesach. We just finished Purim. We should go from joy to joy. And... Pardon me?
Did you then intimate that there are Rashaas?
No. I intimated, and this was what I was about to say, I don't think the word Rasha was used in a... I'm not sure it was used in a moral sense. I'm not sure. I think that there are those... that the majority of Klal Yisrael today are people who are unfortunately ignorant, totally ignorant of our past. And I think that we have a mission, especially of At Pataklo. I mean, the Seder is a wonderful time for all of us to look around our communities.
They say that today, even, I don't mean every single one, but the majority have a reference to Pesach.
Even the
ones you think are completely...
Even more than Yom Kippur.
Yes.
And Pesach is the time, and I think that's the reason why everybody who's sitting here, anyone who is able to open our homes to those people who then could connect more strongly with tradition, because if you can connect with the past... you're part of Klal Yisrael for the future. So I wish all of us a joyous, joyous Pesach.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you.